This was the first time Anya had been inside a room completely constructed of bones.
Your lover awaits your victory, Ms. Creed.
He's not my lover.
You always kiss friends so passionately?
How could they have witnessed that kiss in the hotel room? They must have been watching through the window with a sniper scope. Ignoring Anya's shock, Lambert stepped inside the room and nestled his body close, his thigh fitting against hers.
So, what do we have here?
What do you think, Lambert? It's a secret room. Of course, according to the plaque, it dates from the wrong century.
We've come to the X on the map, or rather, the fleur-de-lis. It's the right place.
I can't imagine why Mansart would make it so difficult.
Ah, you hit on the Mansart connection?
Thanks to your map.
Glad to be of assistance. You know, Anya, we would work well together.
I don't work for madmen.
Ouch.
Anya tried to move her leg away from his, but there was nowhere else to put it. Anya scanned the room, lined with skeletons. The mixture of dirt particles and desiccated bone dust in the air stuck in the back of her throat. Not a place she wanted to stay in too long. Especially not with Jacques Lambert crouching too close for comfort.
Wouldn't it have been easier to place the treasure below the Louvre than in the aqueducts?
Obviously, someone wanted to make it difficult. Perhaps so the reward might be appreciated all the more.
Lambert touched Anya's thigh.
This is cozy, isn't it?
Want to keep that hand? Move it. And let me see that map again.
If there were any place that might have an X on it, this little nook had to be it.
I'm surprised at you, Anya. Lamination? That's not very proper for an archaeologist, is it?
Implanting cloned embryos in unassuming mothers' wombs? That's not very proper for a geneticist, is it?
Touché. But maybe you're laboring under false assumptions.
Oh? Explain the pregnant women in your waiting room.
I can't. Not to you. To explain genetic engineering would make your head spin.
I got me some learning in college. I can even balance my checkbook. Try me.
Anya.
A tilt of his head flashed a bright beam of light into her face, so he pushed back his helmet to sit at the back of his head. The headlamp splashed light across the ceiling of their intimate cove.
As I've already attempted to explain, BHDC offers a very particular service. We trace genetics and family bloodlines through DNA. Most useful in providing proof for claims to family fortunes and treasure.
That you then swoop in and steal.
As any good pirate would, my dear.
Then I'll get you, Lambert. All this is for what?
All I have ever done in my life has been only for my brother.
Your brother?
My twin. He died when I was 7.
And you think you can bring him back by cloning him?
Not at all. It would not be my brother, but a physical copy of him. Mentally, the cloned version would be his own person.
Then I don't understand.
Had technology been more advanced 30 years ago, the medical community might have been able to grow a new liver for my brother, instead of allowing him to suffer and die because my family hadn't the money to pay for a replacement.
People can't actually buy replacement livers, can they? Most certainly not 30 years ago.
No, I found out the hard way. Even when I got the money for an operation, my father said Toby had to wait on the list. The list. Do you know how long donation lists are? To land at the top of a donor list can take years. Sometimes those waiting for a donated organ never get them. The recipient might die before it happens.
But it's how things are. Did you expect your brother could jump to the top of the list with money?
I was only 7, Anya. I expected the world.
But you know better now.
Or perhaps not. Lambert was staring at her, wide-eyed and helpless. Losing a sibling at so young an age must have started him down the road to his present twisted mental state.
We are not God, Lambert. Accidents and disease, while tragic, happen for a reason. Maybe we shouldn't be so quick to fix everything? It is the way the world is.
But it doesn't have to be that way. Therapeutic cloning is a remarkable science. Kidneys can be cloned, livers, the spleen, and skin grafts and bone marrow for implanting. No longer should there be a requirement for a list.
I can understand your heartbreak. I really can. But that doesn't justify human cloning. There is no medical necessity to cloning a human being. It's illegal for a reason.
I began to pursue therapeutic cloning to honor Toby's death. Genetic cloning naturally followed. I only want to help people, Anya. Can't you understand that?
Human cloning helps absolutely no one. It only gives false hope to traumatized parents and ill-informed couples with dreams of designing their own children.
If you were given the choice of birthing a child destined to defects that could incapacitate it for life, or one that was perfect, and even possessing genes designed to combat adult illnesses such as cancers and debilitating disease, which would you choose?
I'd take the child God decided should be mine.
You do not strike me as a particularly religious woman, Anya.
You're not the kind of person I plan on discussing religion with, or ethics in general. Hold the flashlight, will you?
Anya shoved the flashlight into Lambert's hands, then shuffled to her knees. Starting by pressing her knuckles against the wall above them, Anya felt for any skull that would give.
Maybe there's a secret passage skull. You push it and it opens into the treasure.
You actually expect we'll find treasure? It's been 2.5 centuries. If there's one copy of the map, there may be others. You actually get service down here?
Seems so. We must be close to a buried electrical line. Yes? Interesting. And you matched it to the hair sample inside the envelope? You're breaking up. I'll get back to you.
Lambert shuffled his position, moving a foot up along the wall, so it rested right in front of where Anya had planned to next tap.
Move your foot. Or wait. Press again, against that skull. Yes, right there.
With pressure from Lambert's boot, the skull shattered, like smashing open a Christmas cracker. Eager to see what lay beyond, Anya peered into the hole. Inside was an obvious shelf or cache to hide something, but her headlamp didn't beam across shiny gold Louis d'Or coins or ropes of pearls tangled about glittering diamonds and rubies.
What is it? Let me see.
Not about to give up her spot, Anya reached inside and groped around. The nook went back some distance. She couldn't feel a wall at the end of it.
I don't feel anything except dust and rubble.
Did you find it, Anya? What is...
Call off your goons, Lambert. Haven't you done the man enough harm already?
He is expendable.
Just like me?
Your status has recently changed. I'd like to keep you alive. Ever consider working for a biohistorical research company, Mademoiselle Creed? I employ all sorts, including archaeologists and treasure hunters.
And goons and thugs.
Your profession is not so free of criminals as you might believe, Anya.
I know that. Pirates abound in the archaeological trade, present company included.
I thank you for the consideration. No treasure inside?
Anya reached inside again, but pressed her cheek aside the wall of skulls, keeping a keen eye to Lambert.
Maybe someone has already claimed it.
You mean D'Artagnan? He died a pauper, though it's very possible Alexandre Dumas found it.
I thought he was quite in debt when he died as well.
Yes, to his partner, Auguste Marquet. Wait. I feel something. It's a box.
Anya's fingers stretched over what felt like a metal box. It was cool, and the curved edges felt ornamental. Gripping it, she tugged. Initially, it didn't move, but stretching her arm and squishing her cheek against the wall... make that some medieval villager's bony cheek. She was able to finally pull it free.
Pull me out.
Lambert put an arm around her waist. She hadn't realized how cold she was until she felt the warmth of another hugging her. Lambert pulled her back. The box, firmly grasped, took out another skull as Anya tugged it free and settled back to clutch it to her chest. Lambert did not let her go.
This is nice. The two of us alone in the dark.
Oh!
Anya jabbed an elbow backward, catching him in the ribs.
There's no lock. I think it'll open easily.
Give it to me, Anya.
Clinging desperately to the box as Lambert tried to tug it away from her, Anya realized she acted much like a child struggling to keep a prize from the bully. She released the box, and Lambert shuffled out into the tunnel. Anya crawled from the nook to see Asher on his knees, arms sprawled before his head. Blood trickled from his scalp, but he was moving. His helmet lay on the dirt floor. One of the thugs crushed the headlamp with a thick rubber boot heel. Lambert extended a hand.
Do you want to walk out of here with me, Anya?
Is that some kind of stupid pickup line?
Either that or I leave you behind with him. In the dark.
A glance to the side confirmed her backpack sat untouched where she'd dropped it earlier. But her headlamp was not where she had left it, just outside the nook.
The only darkness I fear is in your soul, Lambert.
I can sweeten the offer.
Doubtful.
Lambert noted the abandoned headlamp near the wall, just as Anya did. He signaled to one of his men, who stepped towards it and raised his foot high. Now, only the beams from Lambert's goons crisscrossed the cove they stood in. He approached Anya slowly, treasure box clutched before his waist.
Whatever is in there, I'm not interested.
This? No, this little prize is not for sale. What if I tell you I've learned some surprising information about your history?
My...
Her history? She was an orphan raised by Catholic nuns in New Orleans. She hadn't missed the orphanage since the day she'd walked out, yet still thought of Sister Mary Annabelle, who was tough as nails and had taught Anya that a sound mind makes for a sound body. She didn't have many friends and doubted she'd ever have time for a real family.
Where did you get that sword, Anya? The one I saw you draw from out of nowhere in the file room to threaten Theo. Did she will it to you? Or are you she?
I've got no relatives to will me a thing. And you must have been hallucinating. There are dozens of swords in your office building. You didn't see me steal the one from your display?
Why do you lie? To protect that?
Lambert nodded towards Asher, who was still lying on the floor.
You think there's treasure in that box, Lambert? Open it now and let us all take a look.
Curious, eh? But not curious enough to join me.
Guess not.
What if I make it your only choice?
How are you going to accomplish that?
Theo, pistol.
One of Lambert's men placed a small caliber pistol into his waiting palm.
Move aside, Mademoiselle Creed.
No!
Anya threw herself across Asher.
Well, that rules out a kill shot. Oh well.
The bullet hit Asher in the leg. His body clenched, but Anya held firm, not about to give Lambert a better target.
Stupid woman. Kill him!
No!
Torn from Asher's prone body, Anya kicked at her attacker's hands. A pistol went flying.
Don't kill her!
Anya lunged backward, her body again landing across Asher's back. She slashed at the first man who dived toward her. The blade tip hooked the edge of his goggles and tore them from his face.
Careful, you imbeciles! I told you I want her alive!
Lambert fled with two men in tow. That left four for Anya. She flipped herself upright to stand before her challengers. Four beams of light danced over her. Joan's sword glinted brightly. Her opponents hesitated just a little too long. Two of the men went down. One of the remaining thugs dropped to the ground. Asher had fired the shot from an abandoned pistol. But now all light beams shifted to him. Anya spun and punched the first man that she had slashed. The man toppled, and his body plowed into the other two next to him. The wounded man twisted at the waist and gripped Anya's ankle. She drew her sword across his wrist, slicing to the bone. Anya turned to see the crumpled figure of another man shot by Asher. The remaining unwounded thug ran down the passageway in the direction they had come. Anya knew she should go after him, but she was more concerned with Asher's wound. Retrieving the pistol from the man who was still alive and sprawled at her feet, she checked the magazine. It was empty. At that moment, the headlamp on the fallen thug's helmet blinked out. The darkness held a lingering flash of gray until her eyes adjusted. Anya looked in the direction of the passage. She could still see the headlamp on their fleeing thug bobbing along the walls.
We don't have much time, Asher.
Remembering his position, Anya plunged to the floor where the man sat and immediately found the wound, even in the blinding darkness. A bullet had entered his thigh above his knee, and there an exit wound. It was a clean shot. The small caliber bullet hadn't torn up too much flesh, and it hadn't hit an artery, for the blood did not gush. The knee was still functional, but it still required immediate attention. As the light swiftly faded, Anya tore at her t-shirt. It ripped up the center, which wasn't what she was going for. It was impossible to remove a strip from around the bottom. She shucked off her jacket and removed the shirt. The chill cave air tickled across her bare flesh.
Are you getting naked for me?
Not important right now, buddy.
Tying the shirt tight over the wound would staunch the flow of blood. But in the dark, she could only fumble about and likely do more damage than good. She tugged on her jacket.
Stay awake, Asher. We've got to move, now, while I can still track the light.
The distant light blinked out. The man must have turned a corner. The darkness was absolute. Had Anya not been touching Asher, she might have panicked. Then she remembered her digital camera. Switching it to view mode didn't provide as much light as she had hoped for. Without a flashlight or headlamp, they were in trouble.
Anya.
Hang in there, Asher. I've bandaged your leg. It doesn't feel like an artery was hit. Can you walk? We need to move.
Leave me. I'm dying.
Did they stab you in the other kidney?
No.
Then you're not dying, and we're walking out of here.
Anya, I'll slow you down. It hurts terribly. You go. But will you kiss a man before he dies?
For the last time, you are not dying. And the faster we get you help, the more chance we have of saving the leg.
I'm hit.
You don't feel it?
That meant he was going into shock. Anya had to get them moving.
Ow!
Stay alert, Frenchman, and let me help you up. They've taken the flashlights, but I still have the camera.
You want to photograph my death?
Don't be morbid, Valois.
No, you leave me. Go. It's far better than life, knowing I was not able to defend your honor.
Now you're starting to sound like a damn musketeer.
You see? I am delirious. Death creeps slowly over my eyelids.
Oh, for God's sake!
Anya leaned in. Touching his chin, she drew her fingers up, reading his bloodied and bruised features. They had worked him over while she'd been in the nook with Lambert.
Anya, what are you doing?
If a kiss will get you on your feet, then I'll do it. There. Did that give you the will to live?
Using Anya and the wall, Asher pushed himself upright. He swayed, but slapped a hand onto her shoulder.
You have revived me. Another?
When we hit topside.
Promise?
Promise. Now move. I can get us down the path to the turn. From there, I'm hoping we'll see a light.
Anya hooked an arm across Asher's back to point him in the right direction. Anya supported him as he shuffled along beside her. His body weight hung over her right shoulder. He bounced on his good left leg.
Hurry!
To his credit, Asher did scramble. Rushing blindly through the darkness, Anya concentrated on keeping her path straight. The ground was uneven, pocked with cobblestones and loose pebbles, but it didn't trip her up. The camera strap was dangling about her wrist. She wouldn't attempt to use it for light and risk running the batteries low. She judged the distance to the turn to be less than 100 yards. She and Asher must have covered half that length. The cold began to creep up the back of her neck. Without the cotton t-shirt, the nylon brushing her skin raised goosebumps. It was entirely too feasible that they could become disoriented and lost down here. It wouldn't take long for a person to go mad in such a predicament. Blindly stumbling about, the ruins of cemeteries and bones at their feet. Slamming into a wall, she let go of Asher and put up her palms to catch herself from wobbling backward. Asher slid to the ground beside her, clutching her leg. She didn't step out of his grasp. They must keep contact. A turn to the left, and then the right, did not reveal a light. The thug couldn't have gone far, though it was very possible he could have slipped down a hole to a lower level. The only way out was up, and unless an iron ladder leading up to a manhole was close by, the thug would have to trace the same path they'd originally followed. And how could he, without a map or the digital pictures she'd held as a lifeline? Anya bent and felt for Asher's face. She spoke close to his ear.
Be still. Don't move. I'm going to follow that sound. Not far.
No.
I won't leave without you, Asher.
Anya slipped the camera into his hand, then closed his fingers over it. Then she stepped over his legs. Stepping slowly, using her left hand to guide her along the cool stone wall, Anya moved through the darkness. She recalled they had passed through a few long tunnels before finally landing the treasure. So far, she'd only traversed one. Each step she marked carefully and painstakingly, so as not to alert anyone who may be listening. Sensing a solid force looming just ahead, she put out her hand, stopped, and listened. No sound, not a breath, not movement. It had to be a wall, She pressed her palm forward, and her fingers splayed across rock dusted with crumbling bits of soil. Drawing her right hand before her, Anya willed the sword from the other wear. It arrived, solid and reassuring in her grip. But she did not draw it on guard. Instead, she stood there in the utter darkness, head tilted down to the right, to listen. She drew up the sword. A glint of green light flashed on the blade. She ducked, curling her body down and to the right. The bullet just missed her shoulder. Now the gunman jumped into view, green headlamp bobbing. Anya lunged backward and slipped around the corner. Stone chips stung her cheek. Anya pushed around the corner and slashed out blindly. Slashed in the arm, the attacker dropped his pistol. The headlamp flashed her in the eyes, blinding her. The gunman charged Anya, slamming her against the wall. He gripped her right wrist so she could not control the sword. She released it back to the other wear. She managed to kick the thug in the kneecap. He released her and staggered back. The headlamp beam zigzagged across the quarried limestone ceiling. Impaled on Anya's sword, the thug's body convulsed once, and his muscles relaxed. Certain that the thug was no longer a threat, Anya released her grip on the sword's hilt. She took the gunman's headlamp and put it on her own head, then found his gun, a 9mm Ruger. There were still two rounds in the clip. A quick search of the gunman's clothes uncovered a small flashlight. Then she ran back to Asher.
Oh, Anya.
Asher smiled when Anya returned to him. He stood against the wall, supporting himself with both hands, his right leg dragging. In the unearthly green light from the headlamp, beads of sweat stood out on his forehead and upper lip, but a hand on his forehead found that his skin was clammy. If he wasn't already in shock, he was damn close.
How's the leg?
I am standing, but not for long.
Anya bent to inspect her makeshift bandage. It wasn't as soaked with blood as she might have expected. Not a bad thing, but they still needed to find a way out fast.
I am very thirsty.
To be expected. Your body is working hard to keep you upright.
You think I can find a way out?
Let me see the camera.
Cycling through about a dozen shots, Anya found a picture of the wall right behind them.
We're back in business. This way.
Anya would have to take him past the dead man. Asher would see the gaping hole in his chest. There was a question she didn't favor answering.
If you don't ask me any questions, I promise D'Artagnan's rapier is yours.
You mean it?
You intend to donate to the museum in Lupiac?
Without the treasure, it holds no value for me.
Yeah, but what treasure? It was just a box, Asher. And it didn't feel like there was anything inside it. Nothing rattling around.
You didn't look?
He was shivering. If she could keep him talking and walking at the same time.
Lambert snatched it from me before I had a chance. I thought I'd come here for a treasure hunt, but now I'm thinking that was just a lure to lead me to the real trouble.
BHDC. But I had no idea, Anya.
I believe you. The universe works in strange ways. Sometimes it draws me to where I should be, even when the reason isn't immediately apparent. But this time it pulled the rug right out from under me.
But it was a good adventure, yes?
It's not over yet. Come on, Asher. You can do this.
They rounded the corner, and Anya stepped over the fallen goon. She held her head high, directing the headlamp across the walls, so Asher could only make out the outline of the man to step over him. The light didn't fall on the bloody hole in his chest. An hour later, thanks to the photos they'd taken, they surfaced through the cellar of the cheese shop. The owner was shaken but not harmed. The old woman had apologized profusely that she'd allowed the big nasty men through the secret doorway, but Anya reassured her it wasn't her fault. They hadn't any time to drink a bottle of wine and have some cheese. Asher needed immediate medical attention. The shop owner called for a cab. Anya stood out front, waiting for the car. Asher sat near her feet on the curb, his body slumped against a street sign pole.
There's a hospital on the island. I'll take you there and...
And get rid of the dead weight.
For a while. I can't have you drop dead before the adventure is resolved, can I?
Anya sat next to him and stretched her legs out onto the street. Suddenly, Asher, demonstrating a remarkable recovery from his waning strength, clutched her by the back of the head. This kiss wasn't a rushed one, like she'd given him below ground to get him to move. This one took its time and thoroughly impressed her. For a man half dead, he certainly could curl a girl's toes.
Oh, thank you, Anya. I am sorry to have gotten you into this mess.
Nothing I'm not accustomed to. In fact, I'd have been disappointed if this adventure had been anything less.
Anya left Asher at the casualty ward in the Hotel Dieu on the main island, and in the capable hands of a lovely blonde nurse whose giggles made the indomitable Gascon blush. Tossing the pommel of D'Artagnan's sword up and down in her palm, she stood at the corner of a street paralleling the Seine, pondering her next move. She knew exactly where to find Jacques Lambert, and if he was smart, BHDC would be entirely cleared out of incriminating evidence by now. But the man wasn't that smart, and she suspected he felt as if he'd gotten away with murder, because he did it daily.
Not on my watch.
Anya couldn't let things stand as they did. Not without the treasure. Not without knowing if there was a treasure. If treasure did exist, it didn't belong to BHDC. Nor was it meant to subsidize cloning research. Lambert had gone too far. She would make the modern-day Frankenstein answer for the human lives that he had wasted in the name of his own twisted ambition. Standing before the nondescript red brick facade of BHDC, Anya tried to formulate a plan and scrape up some courage. The sword was a formidable weapon, but it didn't make her invincible.
Oh, hell, what is that?
Up on the third floor, a window glowed strangely against the night sky, almost as if it reflected the setting sun. She knew what it was. Fire.
He's destroying the evidence.
All her life, Anya had had dreams about fire. She'd never been caught in a burning building or had any incidents involving fire. There was no explanation for the dreams. But now, as her heart pounded in her chest, she was struck with an epiphany. The pieces fell into place as the pieces of the sword had knitted together in her presence. Your history, her history. Joan of Arc was burned at the stake as a martyr. The two of you are connected. But even though fire had destroyed Joan's body, it hadn't stopped her spirit. And it wouldn't stop Anya.
I can do this.
She walked up to the building where 10-foot-high brushed steel doors guarded the entrance. No signs or plaques identified the place. Locked. No surprise.
Who is inside? Just Lambert? Or a whole crew of his goons?
Hopefully no pregnant mothers. There must be a clinic or a hospital section in the building. Innocent women could be trapped inside. Anya glanced around. The street was quiet. She slammed the hilt of her sword straight down onto the biometric scanner, cracking off the cover and exposing wires. Then she reversed the sword and cut the wires. Anya stepped quickly through the reception area. She moved down the hallway that displayed ancient swords, rapiers, and knives. A gothic mace gleamed beneath a halogen beam. Caltrops, medieval throwing stars used to take down horses, flaunted deadly iron points. None were encased in glass. She didn't need any of them. Arriving at the door to Lambert's office, Anya lifted a leg and delivered a kick near the biometric lock. Inside, Jacques Lambert leaned against a desk, his ankles crossed casually and his palms to the black marble edge of the desk behind him.
I've been expecting you.
Really? Where's your fiddle, Nero?
You noticed? There's no smoke, is there? It's contained, third floor only. You forced me to take measures.
Imagine that, you having to take measures.
Didn't take you long to find your way out of the catacombs. Pity about the treasure hunter.
He's still alive, despite your efforts. Your goon was ordered to kill, wasn't he?
Of course. I don't do anything halfway, Anya. You should know that by now. But your death was not ordered. You hold great value to me.
I'm flattered.
Lambert reached behind his back and slid a small box into view. It had been too dark in the tunnels to see any details, but now she saw it was wood, painted white. A beam of light fell across the decorative flourishes carved along the edges and the base. It didn't seem ornate in the style of the 17th century, but more natural and restrained, suggesting a later time period.
I was hoping you could explain this to me. It appears perhaps Dumas played a joke on all of us.
Anya stepped closer, still aware that the building was on fire. How did one contain a fire to one floor? Perhaps that's where the goons were, destroying BHDC's files. The more time she wasted, the more incriminating files Lambert was able to destroy.
It's not indicative of the Baroque time period. I would expect gildings, some miniatures painted on the sides. Of course, time might have erased any detail work. May I?
Lambert nodded eagerly, and she picked it up. It was light. The cover was latched on two opposite sides. Interesting. It wasn't a lock and key, but rather a sliding latch mechanism. And it wasn't gold or silver, but bronze. Again a surprise. Wouldn't a gift from a queen, rumored to be worth an untold sum, at the very least be offered in an elaborate setting? There were words engraved around the rim of the box cover. Anya traced a finger along the raised carvings.
Tout pour un, un pour tout.
Ironic, isn't it? That Dumas was able to dupe so many. I had always wondered if he had based the Count of Monte Cristo upon his own treasure findings. This proves it.
If Dumas found the treasure, then why did he die in debt?
Extravagant spending. A childlike lack of understanding for the value of money and goods.
Details Anya knew anyone could know about the writer by reading a simple biography. She opened the lid. There was nothing inside, save a soft red velvet lining. If it was from D'Artagnan's time, it had aged very well. But the condition of the fabric led Anya to believe it was much newer.
There was nothing inside?
I would tell you if there had been.
This could not be the treasure. It could not have been placed in the tunnels during Queen Anne's time.
How very perceptive. There never was a treasure. It's a hoax designed by Alexandre Dumas for... I don't know.
It couldn't be. The map was in D'Artagnan's sword. Dumas couldn't possibly have found the sword and planted it outside Chalon to be later dug up by...
Treasure hunters?
No. The sword and the map are real. Dumas must have found the treasure during his research. Perhaps he found the copy of the map in Fouquet's papers? Or even Mansart's?
Possible.
And when he found the treasure, he then decided to leave behind this box for future treasure hunters. It looks like a trinket box. Maybe something created to go along with the release of the Three Musketeers. All for one.
And none for all.
Lambert slapped the side of the box so it went flying out of Anya's hands. Anya wasn't quick enough. She lunged, but the wood skimmed the tips of her fingers. It did not shatter as she expected, only the lid cracked in two.
All this expense for nothing!
What expense? It costs you nothing more than time spent stalking your marks until they lead you to the treasure.
It cost me the entire third floor. Because of you, you know too much.
You wanted to spill your guts.
I am doing this for Toby.
You've killed babies.
How dare you throw that accusation at me?
I read the files.
The subjects died naturally after successful births.
Naturally? They died because of genetic defects you introduced through your cloning process. And what of the mothers who gave birth to those babies you've documented in your files? Where are they? Dead?
I've had enough of your accusations. You've got the Musketeer's sword. Keep your treasure.
It's interesting, the notion of treasure. To you, an antique sword is treasure, but a dead child is just an unfortunate byproduct of your twisted research.
Lambert lunged for an épée on the wall, brandishing it in a sweeping display before him as he approached her. Emeralds fixed to the hilt captured the light and flashed green fire. Anya backed up until her shoulders hit the wall.
I've got my eye on a new treasure. It is another sword, a magical one.
You believe in magic?
I believe what I saw when I watched you in the file room on the security cameras. You wielded a fine sword, Anya Creed, and you produced it from thin air. Do you deny I've got a recording of you fighting off my man with a sword?
They say videotape doesn't lie.
Where is it?
Lambert approached, the blade held down and to the outside at octave, not threatening, but with a flick of his exposed wrist, it could be.
Bring it out of wherever it is you keep it. I want to see it. I know something about you. Your Monsieur Rue wasn't quite so careful as he should have been. Did you know about his visit to BHDC?
I know now.
Monsieur Rue brought along a piece of chainmail, which he claimed was once Joan of Arc's. Ah, you find that intriguing? Yes, as I did. Threaded within the chain links were four hair strands, viable DNA evidence. My geneticist was able to extract DNA and sequence the entire genome.
You're going to clone Joan of Arc?
We'll certainly give it a shot.
What could possibly be the point of that?
It is the idea of having a child with Joan of Arc's DNA. Trust me, there are people who will pay a ridiculous amount to make such a claim.
Doesn't sound like people who have the right to be parents.
Well, aren't you the judgmental one?
He tilted his wrist and brought up the blade beneath Anya's chin. The tip did not touch flesh, but at the moment she wasn't actually concerned about injury.
Rue also brought along what he referred to as a modern sample. A strand of hair that one must label chestnut.
What? What do you mean?
He wanted me to match the DNA to markers in the historical sample. Answer the question of maternal relation. My geneticist matched mitochondrial DNA against dozens of genetic markers. I have the results, Anya. I will give them to you in exchange for your magical sword.
You're barking up the wrong tree, Lambert. Why would you—
Because I've done my research on your Rue and Joan. I know, Anya. I know.
You know nothing.
I will have the sword.
Her blade met his, sending a shudder through her wrist and upper forearm. Lambert smiled between their crossed blades.
Touché.
This is the end, Lambert.
You're not going to kill me, Anya. I know that.
How can you be so sure?
I've done nothing to warrant such punishment.
You've done more than enough.
Such a statement merely proves your ignorance.
It's not my place to decide your punishment, Lambert. A jury of your peers should do nicely.
The genetic cloning laws are vague, and a jury could not properly rule against a process they couldn't begin to understand.
Lambert fainted to the right. Anya dodged. The blade cut through her jeans and sliced flesh. Anya backed over the fallen door and into the hallway. Smoke lingered at the end where she had previously gone on to explore the third floor. The air smelled sulfurous.
What evidence are you destroying, Lambert? Files? Embryos?
I'll never tell.
As Anya parried the thrust, her shoulder hit the door. It was hot as a stove burner. Lambert continued a slow advance upon her, grinning.
You're quite skilled, Mademoiselle Creed.
I've studied 16th and 17th century masters.
That explains your neglect of proper form.
Lambert lunged gracefully, blade tip coming up under Anya's chin.
How much for the sword? I must have it.
A flick of her wrist swept his threat away.
Impossible.
It is Joan of Arc's sword.
Lambert made a dash down the hallway toward the reception area.
Your brother wouldn't have wanted you to harm more children.
You never knew evil, gentleman Tobias.
Anya caught up with Lambert in the reception area. He paced between the desk and the front doorway, which was still ajar. Smoke flooded the hallway in their wake.
I know things about you, Anya, as does your Monsieur Rue. Oh, and I did some research on him. There is a notation about him in the history books. 15th century.
Don't be ridiculous. He's an old man, but he's not immortal.
I beg to differ. I've spent the better part of a day searching historical texts on Joan of Arc and discovered a small notation on a soldier who traveled in her retinue. Rumor has it he was also a wizard. I guess that wizard was your Rue.
Rue's no wizard.
Rue was supposed to be Joan of Arc's protector. He obviously failed. He saw Joan burn at the stake outside Rouen. Now, who do you think might have taken something of her person away with him? A man who felt guilt at not being able to save the one woman he had chosen to protect? And what would he take? A soldier would covet a sword.
I'm sure all her possessions were confiscated by the Inquisition. It would have been impossible for a mere soldier to lay claim to anything the martyr once owned.
Yes, a martyr. Like you, Anya. Do you battle evil for the forces of good? Do you speak to some higher power as Joan once claimed to speak to God?
Get over yourself, Lambert. There's no such thing as wizards, let alone a magical sword.
They crossed blades and drew up close. Anya genuinely feared her opponent, not for his prowess with the blade, but for the insanity that flickered in his eyes, and for the damning knowledge he'd put together about her and the sword.
It is her sword, and I'm guessing it chose you. How else to explain it magically appearing and disappearing when you will it?
I don't believe in magic.
Nor do I, but I do believe in destiny.
Lowering his blade, Lambert reached out with his free hand.
Just let me touch it.
Gladly.
Anya drew back, intending to deliver a direct hit to his forearm, but the sight of black smoke clouds billowing into the room stopped her.
Your fire is no longer contained, Lambert.
Is it that you cannot control the sword? If you let go of the hilt, is it gone?
Stop trying to figure out something even I don't completely understand.
Obviously, the fire had attracted attention. The authorities were on their way. Lambert offered a surrendering bow and then pointed his épée over her head.
Points for you, Anya Creed. Pity. All documentation will be lost.
Why would you destroy your research? Do you admit that what you've done is wrong?
Lambert approached cautiously, head bowed, and épée tracing the ground.
The evidence of your secret is also going up in flames. Rue was keenly interested. I wonder if I should reveal the findings to him.
Without proof, no one will believe you, Lambert. You're a liar and a thief and a...
A pirate?
Yes. A biopirate.
I like the sound of that. And don't think you have defeated me.
A snap of Lambert's wrist thrust his weapon to en garde. Anya raised her own, meeting his challenge. She aimed for his left shoulder, but Lambert dodged the wrong way. A warm splatter of blood splashed the back of Anya's hand. She felt the throb of his heart through the blade, and she quickly withdrew. Anya caught Lambert as he wobbled forward.
It wasn't supposed to happen this way.
You've killed me.
Anya helped him lay down on the floor.
Quick, go upstairs. Get my heart.
You're... what?
I've cloned all my organs.
The building is burning. It's too late.
I need Toby.
I'm sorry.
Lambert went limp. Anya lowered his head to the floor. She paused for only a second, then shook her head and looked around. A dead body, blood on her clothes and hands. The police could not be more than a block or two away, and the room was filling with smoke. She headed for the door. Miraculously, Anya slipped past the crowd gathering outside in the dark and managed to get back into her hotel room without attracting too much attention. She got into the shower, clothes and all, and washed off as much of the blood as possible, then shucked out of the clothes and stood under the hot water much longer than was necessary to just get clean again. Wrapping up in the hotel's complimentary robe, she sat numbly on the edge of the bed, watching the local news coverage of the fire. So far, the commentators seemed to be referring to BHDC only as a fertility clinic. Until the fire was extinguished, no one could know if there were salvageable documents, something that might give the police evidence of the travesties that had occurred behind those steel doors. Jacques Lambert's body had been found. Foul play was suspected. The police spokesman was assuming that the fire and the alleged murder were somehow connected. Anya realized that she would have to take her formerly bloody clothes with her and dispose of them far away from Paris. And of course, the murder weapon would never be found. That was with her always. Anya was standing at the window, contemplating the timeless beauty of Notre Dame Cathedral, when Bart McGilly called.
I appreciate you looking into the cloning laws for me, Bart, but it's too late. Lambert died in the fire.
Unfortunate, but probably better in the long run. You coming back to American soil anytime soon?
In another couple of days. We'll lunch at Tito's when I get back to Brooklyn. My treat.
Excellent. I miss you. Talk to you later, Anya.
See you.
Anya felt a twinge of regret. As much as she loved him, she knew she wasn't the woman for Bart McGilly.
Don't go there, Anya.
On the other hand, she had caught herself a fine Frenchman without even trying. Everything about Asher Valois appealed to her. Once she got past his initial deception and the theft of the map, he had only done what any desperate man might do.
Hope that last kidney is all right.
Rue held D'Artagnan's rapier on guard as Anya entered the study. He was being playful, his left hand propped at his hip, and a jaunty defiance crooking his grin. His humor wasn't infecting Anya. Joan's sword in hand, she stood, glaring.
Are you in the mood for a duel, Anya? You wouldn't risk damaging an artifact, would you?
No, I wouldn't damage an artifact.
What's wrong? Didn't the treasure hunt go well?
We found it. Maybe. What's going on with you and Lambert? I know you've been to see him. He knew something about me, but wouldn't tell me what it was. Care to elucidate?
Anya, dear, hold your venom. I'm not in collusion with a man, if that's what you think.
You hadn't even heard of BHDC until I told you. What sent you running to Jacques Lambert? I can guess, but I really hope I'm wrong.
And what do you guess? That I'm curious about you and the sword?
Did you bring Lambert a DNA sample from Joan of Arc? And from me?
Lambert was to call me the moment he had results. I'll ring him up right now if you wish me to.
Too late. BHDC burned to the ground this morning. All research and DNA evidence went up in smoke.
No, that's...
Rue dropped his gaze to the floor. The hand that held the rapier shook. He suddenly looked every bit the 500 years he had lived.
A male. I suppose that was lost?
Yes.
I was so close.
Close doesn't count, Rue.
Don't you want to know?
No. I feel enough responsibility just being myself. I don't need to be anyone else. Can I trust you to send the rapier on to our cher Valois?
Yes, but...
Anya fished out the pommel she had carried in the pocket of her jeans.
Here. Now the sword is whole again.
She tossed the pommel. Rue caught it one-handed. Anya turned towards the door. She did not look back. Asher tugged a t-shirt over his head as Anya arrived at his hospital room. He was getting dressed to check out.
Anya!
You're certainly looking better, Valois.
And you're,
Anya hadn't really rested since the ordeal in the tunnels, and was sure she looked like 10 miles of bad road.
Ready for a real vacation.
I'm so sorry about that. Next time I invite you to Paris, it will be strictly for leisure.
Did you say leisure or pleasure?
The pleasure. You would accept the invitation.
You'll have to wait and see.
Asher crossed the room to pull her into a hug. It was a friendly, we survived a great adventure kind of hug, which relieved Anya. She didn't have the energy for flirtation.
Did you get the box?
It went up in flames with the entire BHDC headquarters.
What? After all our work?
I did get a chance to look it over. I'm guessing it was a sort of trinket box, put out to advertise the Three Musketeers. It had all for one for all carved around the top.
But that means this was all a wild goose chase.
I don't think so. I think there really was a treasure, but someone claimed it and left the box there in its place.
Dumas?
How could that be? He died a pauper.
Like our Charles de Castelmore. It had to have been in the mid to late 19th century if what you say about the box is true.
Yes, which rules out any of D'Artagnan's contemporaries, like Fouquet and Mazarin.
Anya stepped away from Asher and sat in a chair beside the hospital bed. She reached for her backpack. She pulled out a notebook where most of her notes on the lost sword and this whole adventure were scribbled.
But Auguste Marquet...
Who forced Dumas to sign a document guaranteeing to pay his wages.
Which he was never paid because Dumas was in financial straits.
Died a rich man.
Exactly.
Anya found the page where she'd copied the notation regarding Marquet's building a home in Dordain and living rather well, much to the surprise of his friends and family. No one was sure how he managed it, for all were aware that Dumas had not paid him. Pleased she'd solved the riddle, though it was only conjecture, Anya waited for Asher's reaction.
You're wishing you never invited me to the dig, I bet.
Never. I did lose a treasure that could have financed a new addition to my fencing school, however.
You'll find a way. You're an industrious man. Besides, The treasure was long gone before we got there.
I also lost a kidney.
You can survive with one. You'll be fencing in no time.
But I did get the girl.
Sort of.
Oh, you are going to leave me for another adventure.
I've had more than enough adventure for the time being, thanks. But I do need to go back to New York. I booked a flight out tomorrow afternoon.
That gives you 24 hours. You can stay the day and have lunch with me at the Eiffel Tower.
Isn't that a little touristy?
So you'll stay?
A girl should never refuse a free meal.
Rogue Angel, Swordsman's Legacy is a graphic audio production. Rogue Angel trademark, owned by Harlequin Enterprises Limited, used by others under license. Copyright 2008, Worldwide Library. Production copyright 2009, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Performed by Nanette Savard, Colleen Delaney, Tim Getman, Jonathan Watkins, Richard Rowan, James Konacek, Peter Stray, Jeff Baker, Tony Nam, M.B. Van Dorn, Elizabeth Jernigan, Casey Platt, Nathaniel Perry, and Chris Rowan. Red Shirts performed by The Dead Giveaways. Directed by Nanette Savard. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Nathaniel Perry. The Rogue Angel theme was composed by Chris Rowan. Book adapted for graphic audio by Matt Jacobs. If you enjoyed Rogue Angel, be sure to look for The Serrano Legacy, available at road stops everywhere, at 1-800-670-5220, or at www.graphicaudio.net.
Available now from Graphic Audio.
I'm Kyle Rayner, commonly known as Green Lantern, and there's a story that goes with that.
What am I supposed to do?
Wear the ring.
For how long?
Until you die, or something worse happens to you.
Ah! Flip, flip, flip! Hey, that jetty's shooting at me!
I'm here as a representative of the Justice League.
You've got like a club.
Something like that.
You screwed up badly tonight.
You remember the signaling device we gave you?
Where'd you find it?
On the floor.
I intend to know if you're responsible for the disappearance of the satellite.
Why do you think I might be?
You could be smarter than you seem.
Well, I'm not.
I was called Ganthet.
You're a 500,000 years old?
If my brothers succeed, there will never have been life on Earth.
It's up to us to prevent the end of the universe?
Graphic Audio presents DC Comics, Justice League of America, Green Lantern,
Heroes Quest.
If we do not do it, it will not be done.
Copyright 2009, DC Comics, all rights reserved. Justice League of America, Green Lantern, and all related characters and elements are trademarks of DC Comics.
If you can't find that hot graphic audio title you're looking for, just head to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD or MP3 disc format. Or, the fastest and cheapest way, download that puppy and play it on any of the many devices that'll play Windows Media. And if you're on the road or just a total computer feeb, snatch up the phone and call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220 or www.graphicaudio.net.